This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I just put up a poll, Seth, because I want the people to weigh in on this. Has his work on radio and TV improved at Seth C. Payne's image?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yes or no? If you're grading out pretty well so far, the early returns are that it's improved your image.
How many votes? Is that my one vote?
There's a few dozen right. votes oh, okay. so far. Good, I just good, put it good, up a good. Few minutes ago.
I'm waiting for the comments on that one. Those will be good.
The replies?
Those will be funny.
Okay. Yeah. So that poll is up right now. I put it up on my Twitter feed at Sean T. Pendergast, but I would encourage you to also follow our station at Sports Radio 610.
George from the Bull was saying we need to get a Facebook account just for our show.
Okay.
Do we need to do that? I'm so scared of Facebook. And I'm going to be honest with you. I get lost on that app. I can't figure it out. Whenever I try to DM somebody, it sends me to the Messenger app, which doesn't.
Yeah.
And I'm linked to the Sports Radio 610 account. So
unwieldy.
I'm trying to DM somebody, but I'm seeing all these messages about how somebody said something stupid at 5:59 p.m.
I basically need a co-personal assistant. Yeah. Stuff like that. We need a show personal assistant.
We'll outsource it to somebody. We'll get one of those virtual assistants. Yeah, there's nothing I love better than giving my social media account passwords to somebody in...
Who's not in the same room with you.
Yeah, somebody in Czechoslovakia.
You can't be held accountable.
Yeah, that's what I like doing.
That's a fun thing. DeAndre Hopkins and Jalen Ramsey, that's a fun thing. It's a fun matchup. Hopkins had some interesting things to say about what separates Jalen Ramsey from the other defensive backs that he goes up against throughout the year. Here's what D-Hop had to say yesterday.
He's my favorite corner to play against. He's the only corner in the NFL that actually follows me everywhere I go. So you got to respect that.
When you say he follows you everywhere you go, you mean on the football field?
No matter where I line up, he's right there in front of me. A lot of guys claim the number one DBs, but not a lot of guys can do that.
What is it about him that makes him special, that allows him to follow you wherever you go?
His athletic ability. He's not the average corner. He's long, he's physical, he's fast, he's everything, I think you want from a football player.
That was DeAndre Hopkins, courtesy of Mark Berman of Fox 26, is who the other voice was.
And the fun thing about them, and this is a fun thing, if you're at the game watching, is the constant wrestling match between these two. Remember, the Jaguars get a ton of defensive holding penalties when they go against the Texans because both Ramsey and Boye, didn't he always used to be that Ramsey would follow DeAndre? They when Boye first got there, they traded off a little bit.
Yep.
And there were a couple games where Boye and Ramsey combined for 5 defensive holding penalties, plus one of their other defensive backs. They go into this game with a strategy of, well, We're not going to let DeAndre torch us, or just kill us. So we're just going to hold him every single play.
Yeah, they're not going to
call it every time, and we'll live with the consequences. So, and DeAndre, to his credit, never really complains about it because that's kind of his game too.
Yeah.
His game is the physical game. And that's why, though, they do a pretty good job of limiting the big strikes by DeAndre because Jalen's faster than him.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen's going to be able to run with DeAndre. So it's a lot of curls and comebacks and slants. It's that stuff where DeAndre can get open with inside leverage too. That's where his physicality and his ability to kind of not push off, but kind of push off and outcompete for balls helps. And there'll be a lot of times where Ramsey's got him covered completely, but DeAndre comes down with it.
It's interesting the way you put that, just in terms of being a fan and watching that matchup, that it's one of those matchups that being in the stadium really helps. To me, it's one of those ones where subscribing to Game Pass, where you get the coach's film and you can see everybody out there.
Yeah.
It makes that's one of those things that makes it worth the $99 a year, because that matchup goes beyond just the 7 times that Hopkins actually gets targeted in the game, or whatever. Well, if it's 11 times, whatever it is. They are jockeying. They're jockeying the whole time out there.
Right.
And you could argue that they're the two best at what they do. These are the two best. I know Ramsey didn't have a great season by his standards last year, but I think if you put both of these guys, if you had a draft, if you dispersed the wide receiver and the cornerback positions around the NFL and you let teams start drafting those positions, I think you can make an argument that these are the two guys that go first overall at those two positions.
And the cool thing about it is that their games match up so well that it makes it even more competitive because Ramsey is so good at press and using his hands and that little make it holding or interference that's not going to get called. It's going to be interesting to watch Ramsey this year and how he handles these pass interference things. Oh, I would say that. Okay, this is my advice to Bill O'Brien in this game.
Okay. Don't listen up, Bill.
If it comes down, if it's Ramsey and Hopkins and you look up and you see on the replay that it looks like interference, don't throw the flag. Just don't throw it, because I feel like on any given play with these guys, usually both of them are wrestling with each other, and it's going to be a non-call.
I think, not to go too far into the weeds on rules, but it's a storyline with these two because of the physicality with which they play. I think the league has indicated early on here, it's got to be to the level of that Saints-Rams non-call
for
them to change it. I mean, it's got to be like beyond egregious almost.
It could have been a disaster. It could have been so ugly if they didn't change it. So, but that's the fun part about it. The cool thing is that they're almost like two boxers that respect each other, except with even less trash talk, but two boxers that aren't necessarily big trash talkers that just respect each other, and they're going to go 12 rounds, and they'll after the game, they'll have a big hug. That's how every game feels between these.
Let's hear from the other side of it. Here's Jalen Ramsey on DeAndre Hopkins.
He had a 99 overall rating on Madden. So that's like, what? That's damn near unguardable on Madden, right? It's pretty much like that in real life, too. It's tough. It's one of the toughest battles I have each year in and year out. We always have pretty good battles. Sometimes I hold them to less yardage, whatever it may be. But I know that, he's a tough guy to go out there and guard, play in and play out, or as much as I get the opportunity to guard him.
That Madden 99 thing gets guys huge respect. I just think it's funny to me. It's a video game. There's a bunch of programmers sitting in a room that decided that DeAndre Hopkins was going to be a 99, and now it's this huge badge of honor that he has.
I don't think it's not programmers, though. They have a team of people that actually study this figure it out. And they visit the team sometimes. They went to one of the teams. Maybe it was the Raiders, and that's why I saw it, because it was on – was it on Hard Knocks? The guys from Madden were there. And it was just a constant slew of guys coming up to me and saying, what the hell? What are you talking about? Well, how the hell am I a 72? You want to talk? I'll race you right now. I'll run right now. Tell me how slow I am.
What do you think is more important to players, where they finish in the NFL top 100 or what their Madden score is?
I don't think anybody thinks there's any validity to that top 100. So I would say
The Madden.
I think the Madden one.
Yeah.
And more guys play Madden. You only have to look at that list once a year. The Madden scores, and every year you look at the list, you see some that are just egregiously wrong. The Madden, I think there's enough truth to it that guys are going to get a lot more upset about. Guys will get more upset about, wait a second, I'm a 9. How come this guy's a 91 and I'm an 87 when I'm clearly a better player than him? Where with the NFL rankings, you realize, okay, it's a bunch of guys that aren't putting much attention or thought into this.
I think it's that way across all sports, too. Did you see Russell Westbrook on Jimmy Fallon earlier this week?
No.
They were revealing, I guess they were revealing all the NBA 2K, whatever they're on now, the scores, the player scores. And I think LeBron was the high score with a 97. And Russell Westbrook was on Jimmy Fallon, and they revealed his score to him on the set, on the show. You know, they had this placard, and Jimmy Fallon like flips it over, and Russell Westbrook had a 90.
Oh.
He was not happy with it.
No, he wasn't, huh?
He tried to kind of slough it off, but he was not happy.
See, it's one of the things, though, you get the most feedback from that, from like the fans that should matter most are the kids, and that's where you get the most feedback. You're gonna hear about fantasy stuff from adults, but the kids are gonna tell you about Madden.
Yeah.
And it is a kind of a cool feeling, because I had some Madden scores that were pretty good, I had some that were atrocious, and that was back before they changed throughout the season. It was always really cool when a kid would come up to you and be like, I play you on Madden all the time.
Yeah.
You're awesome at this or whatever. That's a really, really cool feeling. So, as you hear about it from the people who you should care the most about, the young fans, and it matters.
And now the functionality of it is so far beyond what it was when you were on. Yeah, they download patches to the thing to update scores of guys.
The thing that sucked the most about it when I played was that your grade, if you had a really good year, your grade still might not be good in that year.
Yeah.
Because it's based on everything you did the year before.
Right.
So, like, my best years, I actually had some bad grades in those years. But then the next year, where maybe I was trash because I was injured or something,
you get to reap the benefits.
Yeah.
Well, now it's all in real time, so it's pretty cool. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610, talking about the Hopkins versus Ramsey battle. Speaking of Westbrook, I guess there was a social media post not all that long ago where Hopkins was sort of welcoming Westbrook to Houston, like back during the summer. And I think it was on Instagram. And Jalen Ramsey commented on it, something to the effect of, oh, look at all the stars gathering in Houston.
Oh, that's right.
As if to say, crap, I play in Jacksonville.
Is Jalen Ramsey
jealous of all the star power in Houston and want to be a part of it?
He's buds. I saw him saying some nice things about Sean Gibson earlier in the week, too. And above and beyond the normal, yes, he is a good player and a friend. I respect his game. I could see maybe Tashaun Gibson, maybe a little light tampering in this game. Tashaun, if you're listening right now,
well, here's the only problem for Jalen Ramsey is that the Texans have traded all their first round picks for the next several years.
This has to be that Jalen is enough of a headache that the Jaguars decide they're not going to franchise tag him. It needs to be that.
They sign him.
Right. Yeah. And then they sign him in free agency. They've got the inside track on it.
Right.
If they're getting kind of equal offers.
Yeah.
They've got cap space for now. By the way, this is the update on where I am emotionally with Bill O'Brien's spending spree.
William O'Brien,
the GM's spending spree. I think enough people have said, Seth, come on, just live a little. They've got the cap space. Come on, baby. Come on.
Right.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? All right, let's have some fun.
That's where you are?
That's where I am right now, but I know it's a poor choice. It's almost like I'm getting
state, like
into
four
the,
deep dish pizzas.
I'm stepping into a guy's van that I know I shouldn't be getting into it with him, but it smells kind of intriguing.
And, smells like tacos.
It's like, you smell. Yeah.
You know I shouldn't be getting in here, but this smells like tacos.
Yes, yeah, that's what it is. I'm getting into a taco truck. An unmarked taco truck with Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien pulled up. I'm walking along, whistling, listening to Weezer or something. And he pulls up and he's like, hey, kid, you like tacos? And I'm like, do I like tacos? Hell yeah. Let's go, William. And then next thing I know, I'm in Tijuana with one kidney. So I'm going to wake up in February. I'm going to wake up in February with one kidney
and a pet rattlesnake.
And the Texans in cap trouble.
Would you have rather traded two firsts and a second for Jalen Ramsey or Laremy Tunsil?
Oh.
They were both drafted in the same year. They're both 2016 draft picks.
I think Jalen Ramsey, I'm biased because I'm a defensive guy. I think he can do more for you.
Yeah?
Even though
protecting Deshaun Watson is the most important endeavor in this entire town, including all the potholes?
I think one cornerback does more for your defense than one left tackle does for your defense.
Really?
Especially when, look, it's not like Laremy Tunsil is all of a sudden going to turn Deshaun Watson into a guy that doesn't get sacked a lot. Bill O'Brien himself said it earlier this week. He's a guy that's going to get hit a lot. That's his style of play.
Yeah.
You're not going to ever be able to completely protect him. And an average offensive line can be a lot more valuable than just one left tackle. So for that price to pay, I think I'd rather have a Jalen Ramsey than a left tackle.
All right, the final play.
Jalen Ramsey has already been to heights as a defensive back that Laremy Tunsil has not.
That is true.
Jalen Ramsey is one of the best cornerbacks in the league when he's on his A game. Laremy Tunsil hasn't proven that yet. He's got the potential for it.
Yeah, he's a more known commodity, Jalen Ramsey. No question about that. What was supposed to happen on that final play from scrimmage before the game-winning field goal? On Monday night, Romeo Crennel shed some light on that. We'll discuss it next. Hey, quick reminder, we are going to be joined in about 27 minutes or so by Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta. He's got a book that is going to be released next week. Got my hands on a copy of it already, called Shut Up and Listen. It's a good business book. So he's going to join us at 8:45. And we'll talk a little about the book. We'll talk a little bit about the Rockets and what they've got going on. This offseason, obviously Russell Westbrook, everybody's real excited for Rocket season coming up. Real excited for Sunday as well. the Texans and the Jags, a game that you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. I put up a poll on Twitter a little bit earlier. We were talking about athletes improving their images via radio and television. And I want to know what the people feel about Seth Payne. And so I put up on Twitter, has Seth Payne's work on radio and TV improved his image? Jonesy, how would you vote on this? If you just a simple yes or no. Do you feel that Seth's work on radio and TV has improved his image, or it has not improved his image?
I would say it improved his image.
Yeah. 72% of the people agree with you. They agree with you that that it's improved his image. Now, it hasn't improved his punctuality because he's not back from wherever he went during the break.
By the way, did he have an image before?
I think, play it again. The image he had was like someone who dog cusses like a sailor from post-game interviews. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the image he had before. That's the image he had, was cursing in post-game interviews. Hi, Seth.
What the hell happened? Was that a short break?
It must have been, yeah. You got to warn us next time there's
a
short break.
You know what happened?
What?
I emptied the dishwasher.
Well, what are you doing that? You have a show to do.
I know.
Why are you emptying the dishwasher?
Because I get stuck in these loops where I run the dishwasher in the morning. We have a communal dishwasher where everybody puts their mugs in. We have a lot of the CEO of our company is very big into not wasting, you know, things.
Environmental stuff.
Right. Yeah. He's not hanging himself from the bridge or anything.
No.
Jonesy, you're giving me a funny look. 10 Greenpeace activists hung themselves from the big bridge on the east side there. What is it?
Over at the port.
No, not by the neck, Jonesy. I'm sorry. I should have clarified that. It's not the Fred Hartman Bridge. What's it called?
I'm not sure. It was a big story yesterday.
They were on harnesses. They were protesting. They wanted to shut down the petroleum. And oh, gosh, it'd be awful if they hung themselves.
With a noose, yeah.
Yeah, gosh.
That would have been quite the statement.
That might actually really make me recycle more or something. Okay, I'll do it for at least
a week.
In
honor of these 11 people who hung themselves, I'll throw this plastic water bottle into the blue bin, not the green bin.
So anyway.
So you were emptying the dishwasher.
Back to serious matters.
Right.
There's this communal dishwasher, so I'll start it. Because usually I'm like, oh, we're here at 5 in the morning.
Right.
I'll do this before everybody else gets to work. But then I forget about it, and then what happens is people will add another couple dirty dishes in.
Mm.
And then I can't, I don't want to be responsible for freaking out which one is dirty or not. So a lot of times I'll run it, 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
And it'll stay relatively full. Yeah. So I realized when I was in there right now, okay, people aren't here at work yet because they're all lazy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to empty it before they get here.
Yeah. Well, did you see, your job description is radio host, not dishwasher emptier.
Okay, yeah. So you're saying.
I didn't say next time. Next time you think to yourself, I should empty this dishwasher. I would say, where do I need to be more?
Oh, so now you're saying I'm more important than the janitor? I see how you operate. You elitist.
I'm not gonna let you turn this on me. You were not punctual in getting back here from the break, young man. Romeo Crennel talked about the. You were at RAC's press conference yesterday, huh?
I was.
How did he seem?
I like himself.
Yeah. I feel like he puts it in the rear view pretty quick.
That's not in a bad way, isn't it? He knew he was going to get some questions about the poor performance of the secondary, and he was pretty honest in answering it. Aaron Reese, I had put out a tweet where Aaron Reese had asked a question about why. Well, you have it right.
Yeah, we've got it right. Well, here's Rack about the final play, the final series leading up to the Saints game winning field goal.
We were hoping to keep them out of field goal range and not let them kick the field goal to win the game. We weren't able to do that, and so they won. So we didn't play it well enough. We didn't play the situation well enough to execute the way we wanted to execute, and so it didn't work.
It did not work. The follow-up to that was, did the final play where Ted Ginn picked up the 10 yards.
Aaron Reese asked whether the alignment of the corners was by design.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
That's all he said.
Not exactly.
And so that invites a lot of speculation because I think most people would say, okay, the cornerbacks at the top of the screen to the defense's right were up on the line of scrimmage challenging the wide receivers. On the left side of the field, Jonathan Joseph was off the ball by several yards. And Aaron Colvin was off the ball by a couple yards more. Jonathan Joseph gave a little bit of ground at the snap, but was in position to make a play. Jonathan Joseph knew exactly what he was doing.
Right.
Jonathan Joseph, plus Jonathan Joseph had the sideline to use, and he had the distance of the throw to account for because he was further outside.
Colvin backpedaled.
Jonathan Joseph was Colvin backpedaled like he was worried about getting beat deep or something. And didn't end up making a play on the ball. He made a tackle, sure. Well, he tagged him down. And
he backpedaled with two safeties behind him.
Right, right. It was clear that the thinking was, okay, we don't want to give up a deep play if that's what happens, because he had three safeties deep. But we really want you guys to challenge these guys and try to keep it a ridiculously long field goal or not at all, like not even achievable.
Or maybe
field
the clock
goal.
Runs out.
And Aaron Colvin was the only guy that wasn't really playing by that strategy.
Yeah.
So I think when Rack says not exactly, it's that Aaron Colvin had gone a little rogue or wasn't playing quite as aggressively as he was supposed to in that situation.
I'll re-ask the question. Is Aaron Colvin, would you say that he's a good defensive back, Rack?
Not exactly.
Hey, Rack, is mono a sexually transmitted disease?
Not exactly.
Okay, he disagrees with you on that one. Interesting.
So, Romeo, is Seth Payne's image better now that he's in media than when he was a player?
Not exactly.
This isn't going well.
People disagree. 72% of the people say your image has improved because of your radio and TV career.
So is that because they thought I was a jerk before? I'm okay with it. That's cool.
Whatever. Who cares? The arrow's pointed up, baby. That's all that matters. Trajectory, baby. Trajectory. So that was Romeo Crennel yesterday. Shifting gears, speaking of defensive coordinators, I will say this. You can say what you want about strategy, and a lot of people were angry at Rack after the game on Monday doing the post-game show. I think now looking at it, I feel like everybody kind of owes Rack an apology, and we realize it may have been a Colvin issue, not a Crennel issue. But at least Rack is a guy who I think is generally respected around the league as a defensive coordinator and not some sort of just a pain-seeking jerk like Greg Williams. Did you hear this Odell Beckham Jr.
stuff? I put this on the Deceptively Fast podcast yesterday before you. So now it's going to sound like I'm just rehashing content from our show when it's actually...
It was on your podcast?
Yeah, now we're rehashing content from the Deceptively Fast podcast.
Okay, well, there's always going to be crossover. Here's Odell Beckham.
I would say about 0.5% of our listeners listen to the Deceptively Fast podcast, so don't worry about it.
Okay, fair enough. Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday... of course, Greg Williams was the defensive coordinator in Cleveland last year. Was the interim head coach, actually, last year for the second half of the season in Cleveland. Those two teams played each other, Cleveland and the Giants, when OBJ was on the Giants last year. And Beckham got hurt in that game. He hurt an ankle in that game. His new teammates in Cleveland now are telling him, basically, Greg Williams told his defensive players to go get Odell Beckham Jr.
I mean, you know, I had players on this team telling me that that's what he was telling them to do. Take me out of the game, and it's preseason, so you just know who he is. Just the man. That's the man. Call him the players.
Steve has a player friends that have played for him. Do you talk to them about his dirty tactics?
Yeah, I mean, I had people who were here when he was here telling us, you know, if you get a chance, take a shot at him. If you can, you know, hurt him. I guarantee he's gonna leave the game hurt and stuff like that.
Affect the head.
That's all I can think of is affect the head.
It's only taken a while. How long has it been since the Bounty Gate? 10 years or so?
Yeah.
About 12 years? That was about 2000. It was only been about 10 years.
They had won the Super Bowl and then the suspensions hit.
That's right. It was after that.
So it was probably like 7 or 8 years ago.
So it sounds like he's back to his old tricks. And then if you looked at the Jets game last week, Henry Anderson, defensive tackle.
Oh, my God.
Took three shots on Josh Allen. That a couple of them, you might say, well, back in my day, one of them was dirty in any era because Josh Allen had thrown the ball and the ball had been, and Henry Anderson was a good 5 yards away from him when Josh Allen threw the ball. He comes back and falls into the back of his knees.
Yeah.
And I think maybe tried to make it look like he was stumbling, but there's really not a, and that's a guy on a Greg Williams defense. I don't know. Henry Anderson is a Stanford guy, by the way.
Is he really?
Everybody always points out, you know, they know you've got to point out when they're Stanford grads. He's a Stanford grad out there.
And he's out there acting like a savage?
Acting like he's one of these Silicon Valley types, just crushing the small and the weak and just doing dirty things.
Yeah. So
he doesn't care about your privacy.
That Browns-Jets game on Monday night had some juice. I think it still does, even without Darnold. How much will the word mono be said on the Monday night broadcast?
Mononucleosis?
Yeah.
I think that Al Michaels, of those two, Al Michaels or Chris Collinsworth, who's contracted
Well, it's Monday night. So it's Booger and Tess.
So Booger and Tessitore, which of those two has contracted more mononucleosis? I'd say, I wonder if Booger's kind of smooth, but he's also a bigger, Tessitore is a smooth dude.
I'd say
Tessitore is probably kind of a ladies man back
in
the day.
I think so.
I think Booger probably, there's probably some girls who are like, ah, you're so cute, Booger.
I'm gonna go Tessitore minus 180.
Booger, your name is going to work against you until you get into broadcasting.
Right. Yeah. For some reason, people thought Revenge of the Nerds back in the 80s where they had a character named Booger. Like, that'll be really endearing. But he's actually Booger because he picked his nose all the time.
Is that what it was, though?
Yeah, he did.
Is that that's how he got the nickname?
The character on Revenge of the Nerds?
No, I don't know.
No, that's a good.
I don't know how you go through life with that nickname and embrace it the way you do.
Yeah.
I think it helped him in broadcasting because I do think I like him as a broadcaster. I think people think he's got more personality than he does just because his name is Booger.
Mm.
I like him as just a straight, okay, he doesn't get overly technical, but I like kind of his tone and delivery.
You wish your name was Booger, don't you? You think you would be?
I feel like I'd be more the colorful guy if I were Booger Payne.
You might have a gig that exceeds where you are right now. You'd be on national television if you had the name Booger Payne.
What other, we could come up with something different, another body fluid or something.
Snotty
Phlegm Seth.
713-572-4610.
On the call today, Al Michaels and Phlegmy
Seth. Interesting day on the text page. If you just came in after our show and read the text page for today, you'd be like, what the hell were these guys talking about?
Who's got the call on Sunday Night Football? Bile Payne.
Sean Pendergast alongside former Houston Texan Seth Payne, as we are each and every morning here on Sports Radio 610. And we are pleased to be joined right now. The book is called Shut Up and Listen, and our guest is not only the owner of Landry's Restaurants, the Golden Nugget Casinos, he's also the owner of the Houston Rockets, and the book gets released to the public next week, I believe. September 17th is the release date. The book is Shut Up and Listen. Tillman Fertitta, Rockets owner, is our guest on the program. Tillman, great to have you on the show. How you doing?
Great, guys. It's a good morning to be talking. I didn't know it was Football Friday, though, so let's talk some football.
Yeah, well, we could. There's a big one tonight. I was just going to say to you, the Cougs, the University, the Battle of the Cougs, Cougs of University of Houston versus the Cougs of Washington State. What's a game day like in the Tillman Fertitta household?
Oh, it's exciting. I mean, Dane and I have talked about this game a bunch, and, you know, besides it being the Cougs and the Cougs, that you have a coach and his mentor. I mean, Dana was up there for quite a while with, you know, Leach. And, you know, Mike's done an unbelievable job up at Washington State. He's got them as a top 20 team every year now, and he has it going. You got to give him credit. He went up there to a program that I think was 0-12 and has done a magnificent job.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. Should be a lot of fun over at NRG Stadium tonight, no doubt about that. A few things we definitely want to get into with you, Tillman, but I do want to start with the book and just sort of the genesis of it. As everybody knows, I think here in town, your story, starting with one restaurant and building it into the empire that it's become. And we've become familiar with the phrase Tillmanisms through, I think, some of the more recent stuff with your ownership of the Rockets. Are these Tillmanisms that are in the book things that you sort of accrued over time and now you're just finally putting them in book form? Are you somebody who's written down a lot of stuff through your years as a business owner?
I have absolutely written nothing down except my schedule. But it's kind of funny. I didn't even come up with it. One of my really dear friends that I've done a lot of mergers and acquisitions with, he's an investment banker, lives in San Francisco, started writing them down because he would watch me in negotiations. And he said, you have some of the best Tillmanisms. And this was about 10 years ago. So he was writing them down. And one day when I got called to, HarperCollins, said, hey, Tillman, we've been watching and do articles and television, and we want you to write a business book, not a life story book, but a business book that tells people how you do it. And you have all these one-liners and negotiating tactics and just how everything is hospitality to you, no matter what business you're in. And so I called my friend and said, send me all those Tillmanisms. And there they were right there. I use them all the time. And it's just kind of funny. So it's really an interesting book. It's an easy read, 2.5-3 hours. But it's interesting. We edited the hell out of it. HarperCollins said they've never seen somebody so focused on getting every paragraph right. But if you're going to do it right. Right, guys?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's okay. Good. I thought you meant you had to edit the hell out of it because you were swearing the whole time.
No. I did some of that, too. I took some of those four-letter words out. I thought there were too many.
One thing that's been interesting to me is I watch you with the Rockets and your sons being involved with the Rockets is that challenge of getting your kids involved in your business. And I imagine it's hard to find the right line between being a hard ass as a boss and a parent, but also being a loving parent. Has that been difficult at all for you?
No, not really. All my kids have really fallen in line. You know, I would probably say the biggest distraction is that they were so into Landry's because it's all they've known their whole life. I mean, remember my kids grew up on the train at the Kima Boardwalk and the Downtown Aquarium and watching me walk into restaurants and hotels and being so detail oriented. And so it's all they knew and were so into the business. But, for the older ones so far, the Rockets have become a little bit of a distraction. Why do you want to worry about a hotel or a casino? I want to talk about what players we're going to put on a team this year. So, owning a sports, franchise is, you know, we appreciate it. We know how special it is. And even Patrick coined a phrase, you know, sports is religion, and you're dealing with people. It's worse than politics and worse than religion, the opinions that people have and how everybody has a different opinion on everything. So, and something I didn't realize, and we've all realized, owning a sports team in your hometown is more difficult. You know, most owners don't own the teams in their hometown because they seized the opportunity when they could and they bought one wherever they could. So to grow up in Houston and, you know, be a fan of the San Diego Rockets when I was in junior high school and watching Elvin Hayes, who had just left University of Houston with those connections and watching them come to town and, you know, one day to own them is unbelievable. Matter of fact, what's funny is after I bought the team, Gretchen over there said, you're one of the 40 longest season ticket holders of the Houston Rockets. Did you realize that? That's kind of interesting, I thought, and now to own the team.
Yeah, now you own the team.
Now you could give yourself a discount.
That's right.
Finally. Well, let's reward me. How about that?
Right, for being such a loyal customer of the company that I own now. Rockets owner Tilman Fertitta joining us on Sports Radio 610. I want to ask you some more about the book here, Tilman, but as long as you brought up the Rockets, what take us inside the building. Where were you? What was your reaction when the Russell Westbrook trade went down?
Well, my reaction, I did know it was happening, believe it or not. I do have a lot of faith in my basketball ops guys. I think I have the best group in the whole league. But, you know, it always comes back to the owner. I mean, he signs off on something or doesn't. And I was in Italy and it was a long night. It was a long night going back and forth. And, it was just, I'm just truly excited. I can remember watching Oklahoma. I think they beat us, 3 out of 4 times last year and watching Westbrook run up and down the floor. I mean, you know, he's number one in transition to keep the ball moving up the court fast. And, where we slowed it down a little bit with Chris and James and playing isolation ball, you're going to see an unbelievable faster pace at certain times of the game this year. And, you know, what's exciting is you have two of the last three MVPs. You have two guys that grew up together in LA. They know each other. They could scream at each other just like two brothers or family and say, why in the hell did you do that? Nobody get their feelings hurt. And I think that the synergy of the two of them together is going to be very special because they're so close. You know, what Chris Paul did for us was unbelievable. We won 65 games and 53 games. I think there's a lot left in Chris Paul. I think people are going to surprise how well Chris does at Oklahoma. I think that, Chris is going to have a great year this year. And, you know, for what he did for us, my first 2 years of ownership, I couldn't be any more appreciative.
on the phone with Tillman Fertitta, owner of the Rockets, obviously. And you had mentioned that with your sons and your family, it's almost all-consuming, or it's too tempting to focus a lot on the Rockets, and you got to remember that you're running Landry's at the same time. As a guy whose main business is the entertainment and restaurant industry, and you now have this, I don't want to call it a side business, but you have the Rockets on the side. You know restaurants, you know casinos. As a new owner, how do you walk that line between relying on your basketball people when it comes to some of the higher level decisions versus putting your two cents in and doing what you want to do?
I can tell you this. Les Alexander lived in New York, and I bet you he has spent 100 hours to 1 hour for every hour I've spent down at the Rockets since I've owned the team. I have an office there that I've never sat in. So now the difference is, will the guys come over and see me once a week, or am I on the phone, you know, with them, you know, an hour a week or whatever. But we just have a great organization. You know, Tad Brown does a great job for the business side, and Daryl and his team, and we have a great coach and Mike D'Antoni. But they have a lot of their meetings now out at the Post Oak, and matter of fact, there was a big basketball ops meeting Wednesday, kind of trying to recap our schedule. I mean, our players and who's going to make the team, who's not, from what we've seen so far. So, but I sure don't try to run plays. I sure don't say go out and get this person. But I am the final guy that gets to say yeah. And you know, Daryl will tell you if you talk to him, Tillman makes us think a different way. He thinks about things that we don't think about, and it's good. It's a true Knights of the Round Table. Everybody sits around that table, and everybody gets to have an opinion.
Tillman Fertitta.
That's the way I operate.
Yep. Tillman Fertitta joining us on Sports Radio 610. Tillman, your story is an amazing one, starting with the one restaurant, building it into the empire that you have. And I'm always curious with people, especially billionaires who are as successful as you, when you had the one restaurant, was your eye on this prize? Was your goal to become I'll just put it bluntly, was your goal to become a billionaire, or do you realize at some point along the way, like, you know, holy crap, I could become a billionaire?
Well, you got to remember this. When I was opening that first restaurant, you know, the bar has been raised, is that to get on the Forbes 400, I think you had to be worth $200 million. And so your bar and your goal, and you know, remember this. An athlete wants to be a Pro Bowler. An athlete wants to play in professional football. You know, a movie star wants to win an Oscar. A singer wants to win an Emmy. To me, I'm a business guy. And so how do you measure a business guy? Just one way is to be on the Forbes 400. It's something that's been ingrained in business people's heads their whole life, you know, from if you're an entrepreneur. And so you never thought about the word billionaire, believe it or not, is a relatively new term thrown around out there, even though it's always been a word. But you just wanted to be a millionaire 20 years ago. Forget being a billionaire. Nobody could think that way. But through inflation and everything and what the dollar is worth today. So did I always want to be a big millionaire? Yes, yes. And then, you know, you wake up one day and you're a billionaire. And I will tell you this, once you make the first billion, the ones behind it are a lot easier, but it's pretty tough to get to that first one.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. Shut Up and Listen, thebook.com is the website where you can get your hands on the book. It's going to be released on September 17th, which is Tuesday of next
week.
Yeah,
you can order from Amazon. It'll be in your house on Tuesday, overnight. So just order on Amazon.
There you go. Shut Up and Listen to Ben. I've had a chance. You're right, Tillman. It's a really quick read. I think it's a great read for people. I don't think you have to be a business owner or a captain of industry to glean some lessons from the book, in my opinion. Would you agree?
No, absolutely. And, you know, it's so basic in how you can set yourself apart. I don't care if you're a new person that just started a new job, any kind of job, a construction job, or somebody who started as an analyst that just graduated from college at Exxon. It just kind of tells you little things that if you want to be successful in life, and if you live by these rules, you're going to be successful. I've always believed that it's easy to separate yourself from everyone else. And I've preached that to new employees for 40 years. And that's what I decided to do. This didn't happen accidentally. I always decided I'm going to separate myself from everyone else.
Tillman Fertitta, owner of the Rockets. Tillman, one last basketball thing before we let you go. We have people asking. I know you had been in talks with Mike D'Antoni about contract extension, things like that. Is that something that's still on the radar for you guys heading into the season?
You know, we still chat, and Mike and I have a great relationship. And, you know, I think that Mike wants to wait till the end of the year and win a championship and really put it on my ass.
There you go.
I think he wants to say, "I'm going to show you," and I hope he does. I hope he does.
Well,
I love Mike. Mike is perfect for us. I love him and love him being our coach. And he's been really great from day one. He's really embraced.
Well, the sign of a great boss, you've equipped him with plenty of weapons to do just that. So it should be a fun season. We're looking forward to that Rocket season getting started. Tillman Fertitta, owner of the Rockets, owner of Landry's Restaurants, Golden Nugget Casinos. And Tillman, I want you to know, last weekend I went and made my donation at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles to help, to help pay that, those max salaries on that Rockets payroll.
I need lots of donations. I have two $40 million players, so anything can help.
Yeah. I played at the $25 tables for a couple of hours. I tried to do my part.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Tillman, we appreciate the time. Good luck with the book. ShutUpAndListenTheBook.com. Thank you very much, Tillman.
Thanks, guys. Right. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you. Tillman Fertitta, owner of the Houston Rockets, joining us on Sports Radio 610.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.